Hi, my name is PJ Booth, and I'm the founding pastor of Open Arms. And I want to begin today with a question. What would it be like if you could start all over again? A fresh start, a new beginning. You know, for many of us, we look and we read in scripture at times, you know, don't be prideful, don't think more of yourself or more highly of yourself than you ought. But you know, my experience with people has not been that. My experience with people has been one of where they feel like failures, where they feel they're not quite good enough, who feel like when you drill down, you've spent some time with them, there's guilt, there's shame, all that kind of stuff mixed up together. And what I prefer and what I would like, especially in Ireland, from people coming from all corners of the earth to us, I would prefer to see people, hey, no, we can do this. No, with a bit of self-drive and determination and self-belief. But oftentimes we're not like that because we've been, in a sense, ruined by sin. A lot of times we don't know who are we. We don't know our identity. And I've been really thinking a lot about this since last week's message. And again, if you want to go online, just go to openarms.ie, look up our podcast and see last week's message. But I'm probably very aware of this because over the years, I have failed quite a lot. I've made some bad decisions. And some people say, well, yeah, but you didn't intend it. No, I did. I intended to make bad decisions. I knew the right thing to do, and I did the opposite. As a husband, a father, a pastor, and even as PJ, just me, male in my own head, knowing myself, knowing my relationship with God, I made some bad mistakes and bad moves. And so I've come through a time when I have felt shame and I have felt guilt, and I have felt really bad. But somehow, because of what God has done in my life over the last 29 years, God keeps bringing it back to this place of a new beginning, a fresh start, that every single His blessings are new. And that's what I want to address and talk to you about today. We're reading from Colossians 1:15, and you know we're studying this new series called The Good News. It comes from the book of Colossians, whose author is the Apostle Paul. The recipients of this epistle or a letter is a young church, a church planting in Colossae. It's a town on the banks of the river Lycus in Southeast Asia Minor, now known as modern Turkey. Paul would have wrote this letter when he was in prison sometime between 50 and 60 AD. So let's read together. Colossians 1:15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And today we're looking at verse 20 onwards. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So last week we looked at the supremacy of Christ. And we discovered that supremacy means dominion, dominance, ascendancy, sovereignty, sway, lordship, mastery, dominion, primacy, preeminence, predominance, supreme power, and absolute rule. This means that Jesus Christ is the supreme Lord over all creation, things seen and unseen, past, present, and future. Everything, absolutely everything, was created by him and for him. And he who started a good work in our lives can bring it to completion because he is Lord of all. So today we're looking at Colossians verse 20 to 22. Now the NIV, let me remind you again, says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, But now he has reconciled, that word reconciled you, by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now I want to read that same verse from the Passion Translation. It says, and by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as a sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you, Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. So the NIV uses this word called reconcile. And again, what happens is the Passion Translation really gives an explanation of what that is. So the converts the word and says, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Wow. Back to the original content, a new beginning. And there is times in Scripture, and especially in John's Gospel, it talks about being born again. Being born again means a new beginning, starting life, having a redo, having a fresh start. And so we're going to look at a couple of points today. Number one is this: we are restored to our relationship with God the Father. Colossians 1:21 again, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. We are reconciled to God. And the second main point for the rest of the message today is our true identity has been restored. But then I asked the question, but what is that true identity? And as Christians, or as you're here today and you don't have a relationship, you want to know, well, what is my identity? Who am I? Why am I here? What is all this about? And I begin to look at this message. And one of the things, I wonder how many people have looked at the movie series Jason Bourne, The Bourne Identity. And I've read some of the books, but the first book is by Robert Ludlum. And I want to read a little extract because it's very similar to our own lives. It says this: when the body was pulled from the water, the fisherman who rescued him had no idea who this young man was. Two bullet wounds in his back, a few scars, and a mysterious pellet extracted from his hip, displaying the details of a Swiss bank account, distinguished him, but without identifying him. What further added to the mystery was when the young man was revived. He was suffering from complete memory loss and had no idea who he was. His name was Jason Bourne, a government agent trained to kill. But at that moment, and as far as he was aware, he could have been anyone. Through a series of clues, the pellet, the contents of the bank box, and the awareness of certain gifts and talents that he had, he began to piece together his life in an attempt to discover the truth of his identity. And as the story progresses, it became clear that he had to find his identity in order to save his life. Very important line, in order to save his life. It is only when we discover our true identity, I believe, that we begin to truly live, that we become fully human, when we know who we are and whose we are. So we, just like Jason Bourne, consist, I suppose, continuously searching for the truth of who am I? Who are we? Why am I here? Our identity comes from the world. Our identity comes from three main things. Number one, what we do. You come along and say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a fitter, or I'm a painter, you know, I'm a craftsman. And this case for me, I'm a pastor. I'm the founding pastor of Open Arms Church, right? But there was a time back in the 80s when I worked for Polaroid Corporation just here in Newbridge, and they closed down the factory and I ended up on social welfare and the dole. And that day was not too pretty, can I tell you? My first time ever on social welfare, ever on the dole. When I finished Bible college, all efforts of returning to my trade were met with shut doors. Again, not a nice day for me. How about many of you ladies who are listening to me? You've given up your high-powered jobs to take care of children because you're more interested in leaving a legacy and raising up the next generation than you are about just collecting a check at the end of the month. What about those involved in the hospitality industry, hotels, pubs, the gym, not to mention the beauty industry? And you haven't worked since last March. And even if you're in the perfect job, life happens, doesn't it? Sickness happens. COVID-19 happens. A lot of stuff happens. So we're not in control of what we do. The second thing is what we own. So I have a nice car. You know, I live in a semi-detached house in Moorfield Park. Many of our neighbours have moved out over the years buying bigger and better houses. But how about those people who've lost their homes? What about those people who can't even afford now to rent a house anymore? How about all those people right now, probably listen to my voice, and you're stuck either in a B&B or in a small cramped hotel room trying to look after your kids? You see, the things that we own cannot give us identity. As part of our own connection and part of what we own is connected, how do we look? The clothes I wear, the jewellery we wear, our hairstyle. When do you get your hair done? Well, you certainly won't be for another 5 weeks. So if nothing else, COVID-19 has allowed us to have longer hair, have more grey roots, and whatever else happens with that. But a lot of time we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're comparing ourselves one to another. And that can bring on great feelings of inadequacy. The third thing is what people say about us. So what do they say? Sticks and stones will break my bones. Well, what? Words will never hurt me. Well, no, that's not true. Words can sting. Words can cut us to the very core. Now, it's wonderful when someone says, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, I love listening to you, you're like a breath of fresh air. But the reality is often not like that. It's more people say, you're not quite as bright as your brother. You're smaller and fatter than him, aren't you? You look at a girl and say, oh, your sister is so pretty. Why are you so plain? You're too tall, you're too small. You're too fat, you're too skinny. All the comments, all the stuff that just cuts you to the very ground. People who say you're thick, you're stupid, you're lazy, you're the odd one out, you're the black sheep of the family. Others come along and say, be happy with your lot. Well, too late now, Bob Doyle. No, you just be happy. Maybe when you finish school, you might get a job in a takeaway or sweeping the streets or whatever else. But there's no much future for you. None of these things will reveal your true identity. The clues to our identity will not be revealed from what we do, what we own, or what people say about us. Our true identity can only be discovered by the one who created us, by our true Heavenly Father. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. Today you are a masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. He has created us in you in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. So this means that we have personality and it's deliberate. It's linked to our purpose. We've been made for purpose. We're not an accident. It doesn't all begin the day that we're born. It began before time began itself. Before your parents, your grandparents, your great, all the way back to Adam and Eve, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. So you've got to listen to this. It's very important. You are not a mistake. You are not an afterthought. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You could say in a sense that we come and arrive at this earth pre-packed, right? We're like a pre-packed lunch. Everything we need is in there. God has looked at our entire lives from birth to death here in the earth. He's determined our assignments and give us the tools to carry out that job. In the scripture I've just read, Paul's statement declares the glory of God's intentionality over our lives. He's concerned about every single detail. Every moment of your life is planned by God. So this means God has a plan and a purpose for those we love, our children, our family, our friends, our acquaintances, every man, woman and child on the face of this earth. Nothing is left to chance. But in order to live out this life, we have to walk in obedience. We got to know, what does his word say about us? We got to know what his plan is for us. And we got to walk in obedience and walk that out. So it's God's word where we find our purpose, where we find meaning and direction for our lives. When we look to the world for purpose and meaning, we end up feeling like a failure. Not quite up there. Up one day, down the next day, but over a lifetime, we can end up very disillusioned. And that can kill us and cripple us. Because let's face it, certainly not me and not many of us that we know, fit into the profile of perfect, beautiful, or extraordinary. The world's view on these things represent about what? 1% of the population. You won't see too many photographs of models who are just ordinary, just like us. You won't find those people. 99% of us are just ordinary, hardworking people. We try and get out of bed, go to work, look after our families, look after ourselves. That's what we try and do from day after day. And we may never be in a glossy magazine. You may never have that 15 minutes of fame on TV. But when we look to the Word of God again, what does it tell us? Ephesians 2:10 says again, we are God's masterpiece. We belong to Him, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. He knit us together in our mother's womb, and when we come to know Him, He recreates us back into His original plan. We are His masterpiece. He's the master craftsman, and we are His handiwork. We are made for purpose. Imagine Jesus made you. Imagine. Wherever you are, you're sitting right now. Jesus made you. He gave you that personality. He gave you that DNA. He gave you those giftings. He gave you all the stuff that's with it. He made you. He created you for purpose out of His love, out of His perfect plan. He placed you on this earth at a very specific time, into a specific family, a specific geographic area, and prepared specific work for you to do. You are not an accident. You have been placed in history on earth for such a time as this. So there was work and relationships for us to carry out, and there's no other person on this planet who can carry it out other than you. You are unique. I am unique. We are unique. We are specific pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. That's how I like to look at it, isn't it? You see the jigsaw puzzle, and if there's one piece missing, the jigsaw is incomplete. Without you, the jigsaw of life is incomplete. We are unique, pre-packed, called, equipped. We are His. You belong to Him. You are called. You are loved. You are unique. And you are His. And so what are some of the other things that God's word says about us from the heart of God, from the mind of God? He says that we're made in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. So the Creator of heaven and earth has a plan and a purpose also for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Now this is so important. Not declares PJ, not declares someone else, but declares the Lord God of heaven and earth. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He also says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Again, before eternity began, God made us for purpose. Psalm 139 again. He says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You are not an accident. You are not an oversight. You are specific, important for this time. You're God's design. You're His creation. You are His kid. And finally, let me finish with this one. God loves us unconditionally. John 3:16. For God so loved the world For God so loved PJ, for God so loved you, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, puts their trust and their hope in him, shall not perish, shall not be left in hopelessness, shall not be left in despair, but will have life in all its fullness. And then there are those, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, when you're reading this book, there are certain scriptures that pop out. There are certain scriptures that seem to be highlighted. There are certain scriptures that God speaks into your heart, and it's that rhema word just for you. And one of the ones, I've got many, but one of my favorite ones happened in June 2000. So that is what, 20 years ago? Over 20 years ago. And Matthew 12:18, it says this. So this was God's word to me. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. So guess what I go to when I'm a little bit down? Guess what I go to when I'm thinking things over and mulling things over? Guess what I go to when I mess up? So I go to this a lot. I go to that scripture and it reminds me how God sees me, not how I see myself. It reminds me how he perceives me. It reminds me of his plan and his purpose for me. And it encourages me and it builds my faith up. And it allows forgiveness to flow and allows his love to flow, in a sense, through my veins. It keeps bringing me back. Jesus said in John 8, he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not lies, not people's opinions, not what I own, not what I do. It's the truth of God's word. His truth sets me free. Folks, knowledge of the truth will produce freedom. Knowledge of God's truth can allow you to start afresh. It gives us a new beginning, a clean page, cleansed, forgiven, called, and remember our purpose on this earth. Remember the truth that we belong to the Master. He created us for good and not for harm. So the greatest person I can be is who? Is myself. You know, when I started in Bible college, when I became a Christian in 1991, Bible college 93, I wanted to pastor like this person. I wanted to speak like that person. I wanted to counsel like that person. I wanted to have a grasp of theology like this person. And one day, it's as if God set me down. He said, what's your name? I said, my name is PJ. He said, what's your name? My name is PJ. He said again, what's your name? Your name is PJ. And in a sense, what I felt and heard in my own heart was, PJ, I've called you to be PJ, not other people. Be yourself. Be the one I called you to be. And that's what I would say to you today. Be the person that God has called you to be. It's good to look around. It's good to have mentors. It really is. It's good to have people and heroes in your lives. It's good to watch people who've walked in the way of God, in the way of the Lord, and you can learn from them. You can glean from them. But you've got to be yourself. You've got to be the one who God called you to be, created you to be, and gave you the gifts to be. Author Brendan Manning put it like this. He said, trust yourself as one entrusted by God with everything you need to live life to the full. Despite our physical cracks, my goodness, don't we have a few of them, intellectual limitations, emotional impairments, and spiritual fissures, we are providentially equipped to fulfill the unique purpose of our existence. What does this mean? It means we have everything. That within our failures and our limitations, God has built in his plan to include our limitations. See, he has not made us perfect. He has made us as we are so we would lean on him, so that we would rely on him, that we would keep coming back to him, that we would be driven to our knees and say, God, I need your intervention. I need your help again. That's how he has made us. He's not made us superhumans. We're just normal humans with a supernatural God, with a supernatural Savior, with a supernatural Creator who loves us unconditionally. And as we continue to discover who we are, what our gifts are, how we are put together, we will live out the purpose of God with great boldness, with great compassion, and I believe with conviction itself. And for some of us, for many of us, what does this mean? Working a job 40, 50 hours a week. Putting one foot in front of the other. Looking after our finances. Loving people around us. Remaining faithful day after day after day. Loving God. Loving ourselves. And out of the overflow, loving others around us. We discover who we are, what our gifts are, how we're put together, and we just continuously live out the plans and purposes of God in our lives. Being a good witness to people in the midst of this pandemic who don't know who they are or who they've called to be, being called to be. You know, a lot of time people don't listen to our preaching, they watch our lives. And what an opportunity we have in the midst of this, that we're not pulling the hair out. We're not running around frantically. We're not worried and anxious about what might happen next week, next month, next year. Because we trust the God of heaven and earth who's called us, who will keep me, who has equipped us. And we learn to live a life of peace, a life of calmness, a life with less anxiety, with less fear, more faith and more trust. I would like to finish by asking this question. What would you like people to say about you when you die? Wow, what a question. What a question. In 1888, a gentleman called Alfred Nobel read his own premature obituary in a French newspaper, and it contained these words. Imagine this. The Irish Times, The Independent, The Nationalist, the local newspaper. It says, "The merchant of death is dead." And these words radically changed the direction of Nobel's life. Dr. Alfred Nobel had invented dynamite and had become extremely rich in the process. As the obituary put it, he became rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than ever before. From that moment on, Alfred Nobel decided to use his talents and gifts for the betterment of humanity and not for its destruction. On the 27th of November, 1895, at the Swedish-Norwegian Club in Paris, he signed his last will and testament, setting aside the bulk of his estate for the establishment of the Nobel Prize. After his death in 1896, it is estimated that he left in excess of $100 million to fund the prizes. So Nobel's life changed when he saw it from a different perspective. How about us this morning? How about us today? How about you? What perspective are you going to look at your life from? How do you want to live out your life? How do you want to affect the next generation? What will be? Do not allow the enemy of our souls to rob you of your true identity. Please do not live with guilt, shame, regret. Jesus has created us again. He's giving us a new beginning. I am not the same PJ Booth that was born in 1958. I'm not that guy. I've been recreated. You have been recreated. You have been given a fresh start, a new beginning. And this is one of forgiveness, of acceptance, one of purpose. This Jesus who created us for purpose, this Jesus Christ who loves us unconditionally, this Jesus Christ who doesn't just see you as you are, but see you as you have been created to be. Now let me say that, because that can even drift over my head. See, Jesus is not looking at you as you are right now, but he's looking at you as he has created you to be. He sees his purpose. He sees his creation in you. He sees all the things that he has called you to be. He sees you as a man and a woman of God. He sees you as a lover. He sees you as a person of integrity. He sees you as a person who is faithful. He sees you as a person who is steadfast. He sees you because that's how he has made you to be. He placed that in you. But now you have to step into that. Now you have to step into his plan. Now you have to step in such a manner that will allow the plans and the purposes of God to work out through your life. He has created you for purpose. He has created you, not the devil, not just your parents, not your past, not your history, but He has created you in you. He has given you a new start, a new beginning, a clean sheet right here, right now. And His arms are outstretched. His forgiveness is available. His plans and purposes are here right now for you to step into, but you must choose. Again, let me finish with Colossians 1:20. It says, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to Him, back to His original intent, restored to innocence again. So if you're here today and you'd like to pray, you could know the Lord, hey, 40, 50 years, a day. Or perhaps you're sitting and you've never invited Jesus into your life. I'd ask you to bow your head with me and to pray these words. Jesus, thank You that You see me, not just as I am, but as You created me to be. Forgive me for not accepting and believing Your word. Forgive me for not accepting Your promises. But today I want to make a fresh start. I want to start in You. I accept that You are my Creator. I accept that You died on the cross for me. I accept that You were raised from the dead on the third day. I accept that You love me unconditionally. I accept that I am forgiven for my past, my present, and even my future. Today I accept You as my Father. I accept that I am a child of God, loved, forgiven, called, equipped. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed this for the very first time, we want to help you on the journey to take the next step. And again, just go to openarms.ie/connect. If you fill out a card, and we want to be in touch with you and help you take that next step. But as we finish today, let me pray number 624. And I want to pray this from the Amplified Version, because I want to get our attention about the blessing of God on our lives. And it says this: may the Lord bless you and watch over you, guard you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, to enlighten you, to be gracious, kind, merciful, and give you His favor. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.